You're about to listen to a sermon from New City Church of LA. If you'd like more information about New City Church or to download more free audio or video sermons, please visit us on the web at www.newcitychurchla.com. And now from downtown LA, here's this week's sermon.
Good morning, everyone, and happy Mother's Day to all of you. My name is Kevin Ha. I am one of the pastors here at New City Church. I just came back from a pilgrimage in the Holy Land and with my 88-year-old dad. So basically, three of us, my brothers and I, decided to take our dad on a pilgrimage. And we had an amazing time. I can go into so many things about it, but today's Mother's Day, and one of the acute pains of our journey was that our mother was not with us. She passed about 19 years ago, and so this was her life desire to go to the Holy Land and walk in the footsteps of Jesus. She never got to do that. And my dad was aging, and we got to do it with him. So it was a blessing, but at the same time, we didn't do it with our mother. It was amazing to actually journey the footsteps of Jesus and see not only that Christianity works, that God transforms our hearts and our lives, but that is actually true historically. And so that was a powerful journey for all of us, and thank you for praying for us. We are in the middle of a series right now, Design from the Alpha Course. Is there more to life than this? And today's message is entitled, Why and How Do I Pray? So it's about prayer. It's about the basics of prayer, but it's more than that. It's about the depth of prayer. It's something that we all need to hear. Because I think sometimes it's these fundamental things that we don't have a sure footing for, and therefore our lives are lacking in so many different ways. I ran across an article about a research done by UCLA in which they surveyed more than 100,000 students in 236 colleges and universities. And they found that 79% of people believed in God, students believed in God, and 69% of them said that they pray regularly. I was very surprised by that. I remember what I used to pray for when I was in college. I step into a test, an exam, and I would always just say, Lord, help me, help me. You know, I know I should have studied more. I know I shouldn't have cut those classes. I know that I should have been more disciplined, but please help me. Of course, the other thing that I remember praying for was about girls, about asking somebody out and stuff like that. And how many of you have prayed that prayer? If you're a single woman, did you know that statistically speaking, there's 71% chance that the guy will say yes if you ask him out? Pure guy, don't ask. The percentages are much worse. I heard about this atheist. He fell off a cliff, and he was falling over the cliff, and he managed to grab a hold of a tuft of grass. And he was holding on to this grass and just dangling. And he looked down, and 250 feet below, it's just rocks. Nothing between him and rocks. And so in spite of the fact that he was an atheist, he cried out to God and said, God, if you're up there, help me. And to his amazement, he heard this voice, a deep voice coming from above. I am here. Just let go of the tuft of the grass and trust me. And he thought about it for a moment, and he said, is there anybody else up there? In some sense, whether we're Christians or not, we all pray. Now, what is a Christian prayer? Prayer really is the most important activity of our lives because it helps us to be and to be in and develop that relationship with God, which is at the heart of our lives. So let's look at Ephesians chapter 2, verse 18. It says this. Apostle Paul says this. For through him, that is Jesus Christ, we both, meaning both Jews and Gentiles, have access to the Father by one Spirit. So the whole Trinity is involved, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So the prayer is to the Father. That's what he says here. Jesus taught us to pray, our Father in heaven. And in that little expression, our Father in heaven, we have what theologians describe as the transcendence and the immanence of God. His transcendence, that he is our Father in heaven. In heaven. He is far beyond. He is above. He is beyond any human experience. He is the creator of the entire universe. I was reading about an interplanetary space probe called Voyager 2. It set off from Earth on August 20th, 1977. It set off traveling faster than speed of bullet, which is 90,000 miles per hour. 12 years later, it reached Neptune, 2.7 billion miles away from Earth, and Voyager 2 then left the solar system. It will not come within one light year of any star for 958,000 years. In our galaxy, there are 100 million stars like our sun. Our galaxy is one of 100 million galaxies. Andrew Murray, a Christian writer, one said, the power of prayer depends almost entirely upon our apprehension of who it is with whom we speak. So he is transcendent. He is our Father in heaven. Yet he is immanent. He is our Father in heaven. Jesus taught us to address God with an Aramaic word that is left untranslated, Abba. Abba literally means daddy, but it's not a childish word. It's not a word used only by a child. It is a word used even by an adult. It is the most intimate way to address your Father. God is transcendent, but he is also imminent. He is near. He is a loving Father who is here with all of us right now. I heard about a guy named Alex. He said he had these amazing parents. But he said when he was growing up, when he was a teenager, he was actually extremely rude to them. And this is the way he told his story. He said his mother had MS and his father was a very kind, loving man, but he was still, a teenager was very rude to his father, and this is how he put the story. I was a greedy, greedy child. I stole from my parents over a long period of time. And when he was 15, he got found out, and there was this big argument, lots of shouting, screaming in the kitchen, and he said, I become the worst human being. And it all hit me. I ran upstairs, slammed the door, then piled all my furniture against the door and sat by my bed. I remember hearing my dad coming upstairs and sit against the door. And I always remember these words he said to me. Alex, I don't know what you're thinking or what you're going through, but I need you to know that me and your mom love you. We tried and provide for you. We give you everything we have. Is that not enough? And there was silence that could have gone on forever. And then I heard my dad say quietly, please, please, son, open the door. I really want to hug you right now. You know, he said, that experience, that moment, he said, I never experienced God like at that moment. I never understood the gospel of Jesus Christ more. So the prayer is to the Father who loves us, who is with us, near us, right now, no matter what our state is. The prayer is to the Father through the Son, that is, through Jesus Christ. And, you know, we don't have the right to come to this holy God, the presence of God, and just pray. We don't have the right to have a relationship with this Father. We are a sinful, messed up people.
And God is holy and just. We are separated from God. There is a deep chasm in between us. But Jesus came and paid the penalty of our sins and bridged the gap between us. And he gave us access to the Father. That's the good news. And it is because of what he has done for us that we have access to the Father. And that's why we pray in Jesus' name. It's not because we are good. It's not because we're capable, able, pure. It's because of what Jesus Christ has done for us on the cross that we're able to come to the Father. Then it says, by one Spirit. The whole Trinity is involved. The Holy Spirit comes to live within us. David, last week, when he preached, he shared the image of Jesus knocking at the door of our heart. If we invite him, his Spirit comes to live within us. And, you know, some people say, well, I don't really know how to pray. But the scripture says that we don't know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit helps us in our weakness. And that's why, incidentally, the subject matter of the Alpha Retreat that's coming up is so important. We're going to be talking about the Holy Spirit. Who is the Holy Spirit? What does he do? What does the Holy Spirit do? And how can we be filled with the Holy Spirit? So this weekend, the Alpha weekend, is about encountering the Holy Spirit and being filled with the Holy Spirit and actually having an experience of the Spirit of God. So I really want to encourage all of you guys to come. This is a critical element of the Alpha Course. And in fact, the whole Holy Spirit element is discussed and taught during the retreat. And it's an experiential element. So I want to encourage all of you to sign up and come. You'll be missing out on a big chunk if you don't make it. So the prayer is to the Father, through the Son, and by one Spirit. Secondly, why do we pray? Why pray? Let's look at Matthew chapter 6, verse 6. Jesus gave us reasons to pray. Jesus said this. He said, but when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. You know, first thing to note from this passage is that Jesus says, when you pray, he assumes that we would pray. Jesus often went to pray by himself early in the morning and sometimes with some of his disciples. And so it is the model of Jesus. And secondly, he says to pray to your Father. So it is a relationship. In any relationship, communication is key, right? Husband and wives, if communication begins to break down, the relationship tends to cool. So if you don't pray, your relationship tends to cool. Between parents and children, it's the same thing. It's the same with our relationship with God. The more time we spend with him, talking to him and to listen to him, the closer we feel to him, the more we develop that relationship with God. So if you're wondering, I don't feel close to God, well, are you spending time with God in prayer? The third reason to pray, and we see in this verse, is the reward of prayer. Jesus said, your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Well, some people say, well, you know, that sounds kind of mercenary. You know, praying in order to get rewarded. You know, I think it's important to distinguish between inappropriate rewards and appropriate rewards. An inappropriate reward, for example, is money for sex or money for love. If somebody marries somebody for their money, we think that's mercenary. But marriage is an appropriate reward for love. So if you're working hard on an exam, passing that exam is an appropriate reward for studying. C.S. Lewis put it like this. He said, the proper rewards are not simply tacked on to the activity which they are given, but they are the activity itself in consummation. So what are the rewards of prayer? The rewards of prayer are, first of all, that we experience God's love and presence. That's the most wonderful thing, to know God's love, that to know that he loves you, to experience that, to experience his presence, to experience his joy. The psalmists say, In the presence of God, there is fullness of joy. So many people are searching for happiness. And the psalmist says that you can find, there is a place that you can find that happiness. It is in the presence of God. Another reward, peace. Paul says to us in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 to 7, one of my favorite verses. He said, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Are you anxious about something? Are you going through a rough time? Are you guilty about something? Are you weighed down by fear? Pray. Pray and hand them over to God. And as we do that, the scripture says we experience peace, peace that transcends understanding. We get a new perspective. I find that so many times when we come into the presence of God, we begin to actually see things in a different way, in a new way. We see our problems in a new way. We see the tasks that we have to do in a new way. And he also guides us through prayer. Prayer is not just one way thing. It's not just us talking to God. It's a two-way communication. So often our thoughts, ideas come to mind as we pray. God's ideas comes into mind. And we can sense God is actually speaking to us. And I think this is something that we learn. The more we have a relationship with God, the better we get to know him, the more we begin to recognize his voice. And then he satisfies the thirst that we have as well. He quenches our thirst. He satisfies that the emptiness of our soul with his presence and with his love as well. A part of the rewards of prayer is also the answer prayers. You know, someone wrote this to the Times. If God already knows the future, it must therefore be fixed. And one religious affair correspondent of the paper replied like this. He said, "If God lives in the eternal present, he hears all prayers simultaneously. Therefore, he can appropriate a prayer from next week and attach it to an event a month ago. Prayers said after the event can be heard before they are spoken and taken into account before the event." Or put another way, God has all eternity to answer that split-second prayer of a driver who is about to crash. Prayer not only changes us, it's not just about changing us. Prayer changes us, yes. But prayer actually changes situations. I don't think you can prove God or existence of God or prove Christianity by giving a list of answered prayers, because for every answered prayer, there's always an alternative explanation. It always could be explained another way. You know, maybe it was a coincidence, you can say. But I think what I have observed is this kind of cumulative effect. In one small group that I participated in for many years, we used to keep track of every prayer request. And when it was answered, we would put a check mark by it. And once in a while, the keeper of the notebook would update us on all the answered prayers. The cumulative effect was pretty amazing. God answered our prayers. William Temple, the great former Archbishop of Canterbury, said this. He said, "When I pray, coincidences happen. When I don't, they don't." Now, but does God answer all of our prayers? I think the answer to that question is yes. But we don't always get what we want. For a start, you have to recognize that God cannot act in a way that is inconsistent with his character or nature. So I guess we all sympathize with the student who comes out of a geography exam and in desperation prays to God, "God, let LA be the capital of California." But that ain't going to be so. There are other things that may cause this barrier between us and God in answer to our prayers. You know, one of the things that Apostle James said is this. He said, you do not have because you do not ask God. And when you do not, when you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. So not all of our prayers for Mercedes is going to get answered. Sometimes I think we ask for things that are not really good for us, but we don't know that when we're asking. It's a little bit like children. Suppose you have children who are 3 years old, and they come to you and say, Dad, you know, I really want to play with real knives. I'm sick and tired of these foam knives. You know, I want to play with real knives. Could we play with real knives? Well, you might try to explain to them, but they might not understand. You might just say no. And sometimes God says no to us because it's not good for us. And he doesn't want you to get hurt. I think God would say no. And John Stott put it like this. If either it is not good for ourselves or for others, directly or indirectly, immediately or ultimately. We don't know that. But he knows what is good for us. And sometimes I think we do understand later why God said no. You know, many of us prayed about marriage, and sometimes people are so grateful that God didn't answer those prayers. Billy Graham's wife, Ruth Graham, who was happily married to Billy Graham for like 60 years before she passed, she once told an audience in Minneapolis this. She said that she was very grateful to God that he had not always answered her prayers because, she said, if he had done so, she would have married the wrong man several times. I mean, there are so many reasons for unanswered prayers. There are different variables that go into the outcome of our prayers. God's will, for example, or human faith. The scripture actually says that our faith has an effect on prayer. Persistence. Jesus taught us that persistence has an effect. Praying together. Jesus says that there's more power when we come to pray together. Human free will. It's not like God just erases all free will. There's spiritual warfare involved. There's so many variables that affect the outcome of prayer. You know, last year at March 20th, as part of Prayerful series, I preached a sermon called Unanswered Prayers. And so you can go to our website and look to that sermon. I go into a lot more details about unanswered prayers. Sometimes I think we'll never really know the reason in this life why God didn't answer a particular prayer we may have. My mom died about 19 years ago during a Thanksgiving dinner. She was fairly young. She was in her early 60s. And right after she prayed for everyone individually after Thanksgiving dinner, she was drinking tea, and she just said, "Oh, my head," and then she collapsed. I remember riding in the ambulance when her heart stopped. I never prayed harder. As my family was waiting for word from the ER doctors, we never prayed harder. I don't know why God didn't answer those prayers. You know, I think we all have a choice. I had a choice. I can either stop believing, but I knew I'm not going to do that. I'm going to go on believing in spite of the fact that I don't understand. And I'm going to trust God whatever the situation is, even though I don't understand. And I probably never understand in this life. So there are times when God does not answer our prayers. But as I look back over my life, I see that God has answered so many prayers, so much more than those that he did not answer. Now, how do we pray? How do we pray? You know, there's no set way to pray. Prayer is about a relationship, And in a relationship, you can't just lay down all the rules for communication. There's just freedom, and there's variety, and there's creativity. And so go at it. You know, I sometimes use a little acronym, and I used to do this a lot when I was younger. ACTS, X, it's a mnemonic device. A stands for adoration, C stands for confession, T stands for thanksgiving, S stands for supplication. It helped me a lot because I used to just go to God and say, God, give me this. To supplications only, and never really dwell in his presence and adore him and confess my sin and just thank God for him and things he has given. And so, you know, something like that helps us, you know, if you want to learn how to pray. Others follow the model of the Lord's Prayer. Memorize the Lord's Prayer. And with every sentence, say every phrase, say that phrase, and then say a prayer related to that phrase. That's a great way to pray. I want to give you just a few suggestions on how to pray that I found to be important in my life. First of all, pray honestly. The night that Jesus was arrested, he was praying in a garden of Gethsemane. He prayed so hard that the Bible says his blood vessel actually popped and he was bleeding due to stress. And this is what he prayed. He said, Abba, Father, everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me, yet not what I will, but what you will. You know, he knew exactly what that moment meant. He knew exactly where he was headed, to the cross. And he knew this beautiful intimacy with his Father. And he was now going to be separated from his Father as he takes upon his shoulder the sins of the world. And he was completely honest to God at that moment. He said, I don't want to die. I don't want to be separated from you. He was completely honest to God. It's okay to be completely honest to God. It's okay to pray the stuff that's in our heart to God, praying all of our emotions, our sorrows, our tears, our desperation, our anguish, our raw, unfiltered emotion as they are. God invites us. It's okay to rant to God. God wants you to rant. You know, if you look at the Psalms, which is our book of prayer, half the Psalms are rants to God. He wants us to approach him as we are in a real way. Not in some manicure, manufactured way. That's not the way to pray. I mean, that's a great way to pray too, you know, when you can be eloquent. But just it's important to just come as you are. The prayer that God desires is a prayer that is raw, real, and authentic from your heart. You know, I think I told this story before, but I met Grace at law school, and I didn't know her that well. I thought she was pretty good-looking, and so my roommate and I strategized on how I can ask her out naturally. So we strategized all night, and the plan worked, and we ended up having lunch at a local restaurant without making her feel like it's a date. So, and I remember I was just trying to be the best of who I am, you know, present the best face forward, best foot forward, and I don't think I was really confident enough to really show who I really was. But Grace, on the other hand, she was authentic, raw, and real to me right from the beginning. But, you know, didn't really go anywhere. The next real date was about a year later. And again, she and I connected at a really deep level very quickly. We ended up talking until the cafe closed and they kicked us out. And she was struggling over something at that point, and she really shared that with me. And I started to share some of the things that I was struggling with. And we started to connect to each other in a very real way. You know, I think that's why I knew right from the get-go that I wanted to marry her. She, on the other hand, did not have that enlightenment until much later. Because I saw her as someone who I can connect with at the deepest level. And I felt like she felt safe enough to share her deepest thoughts with me. And I think if we just continued on,
kind of relating to each other in a presentable way, I don't think our relationship would have gone very far. And I think that's precisely the point. God wants us to engage Him at that deep level, sharing the deepest things of our hearts to God and hearing the deepest part of His heart. Because that's how love relationship works. God loves you unconditionally. It doesn't matter how messed up our heart is. It doesn't matter what we have done. God loves you, and He wants to engage your heart at the deepest level and show you how much He loves you. Because that's how you're going to be changed. You don't come manicure to God. You come as you are and then experience His love. And as you experience His love, your heart begins to change and begins to become clean. That's how it works. So that's the first thing. Pray honestly to God. Come as you are to God. Secondly, pray persistently. Jesus told us to always pray and not give up in Luke chapter 18. You know, I heard of a story of a mother. And in honor of Mother's Day, I want to tell this story of a mother named Monica. A relatively young mother praying for her teenage son. Her teenage son was a rebel. He was dishonest. He was lazy. He was a thief. He was a cheater. And his mother despaired about him. And she prayed and she prayed and she prayed for him. But his life just go worse and worse. He had very loose morals. He just kept on sleeping around. He became a father of a son by a woman he wasn't married to. And as she prayed, things still didn't seem to change anything. And he joined some weird cult, got involved in all kinds of strange practices. But she kept on praying. She prayed for 9 years. And during that time, she had a vision during her prayer of her son's face. And this face was her son having come to Christ alive, full of the Holy Spirit. And as she thought about this vision, this kept her going in her prayer. When her son was 28 years of age, he gave his life to Christ. And he later became ordained. And he became one of the greatest bishops in the history of Christianity, and also the most influential theologian in the history of the church. His name is St. Augustine, and he came to Christ on 386 AD. He always attributed his conversion to the prayer of his mother, and her prayer literally not only changed him, but changed the course of history. And of course, the city of Santa Monica is named after her. So that's the second thing. Pray persistently. Third thing, don't just talk to God, listen to Him. Take some time to stop and listen to what God might be saying. You know, oftentimes when we come to pray, we just talk. We just talk about this. We talk to God like God needs information, right? Like, he doesn't know stuff, so we have to tell him all this stuff. I mean, you know, which is good. You know, prayer is good. But sometimes we should stop and listen to God. Silence is a critical part of prayer life. Just entering into the presence of God and saying, Lord, I just want to listen to what you want to say to me. You know, sometimes one of the great ways to listen to God is just say, Lord, speak to me through your word. And so you open up the Bible and you begin to read and say, Lord, speak to me about what you want to speak to me about through the scriptures. And I believe oftentimes God uses the scriptures to speak to us. You know, for example, you might meditate on Psalm 37 where the psalmist says, commit your way to the Lord. So are you worried about your job? Are you worried about a relationship? Commit
your way to the Lord. Trust in him and he will act. That's what the scripture says. I mean, as you encounter his voice, there's so much freedom as you listen to him and begin to commit yourself to him. I'm going to trust you. I'm going to watch for you to act. I'm going to surrender my life to you. So listen to God in silence or maybe through the scriptures. You know, I think it's so important for all of us to just listen to the heart of God. What is God feeling? What breaks his heart? What is he passionate about? Oftentimes we come to God and say, God, I'm passionate about this. Please bless this. Please help this. Please. And that's good. But I think sometimes we need to go to God and say, God, what are you passionate about? What breaks your heart? I want the stuff that breaks your heart to break my heart. I want the stuff that you're passionate about to be the stuff that I'm passionate about. And submit to God and hear the voice of God, hear the heart of God, and allow that to empower your life. And as you see God's broken heart for injustice of the world, begin to pray for injustice. Begin to see what part you can play. As you listen to God's broken heart for people who are suffering in the world, people who are homeless, people who are going through a difficult time in a way that God speaks to you about, then you begin to see what God is calling you to do. That's how God guides us in so many different ways. So that's how we pray. We don't just talk to God, we listen to his heart. We listen to him. Now, when should we pray? Paul says, pray continually. It means pray all the time. Pray in the Spirit on all occasions, he says. You don't have to come to a building or be at a particular place in order to pray. You can pray, you know, as you walk. As you walk around downtown, pray. You can pray in the bus. You can pray in your car when you're stuck in traffic. That's a sign for God saying, I'm giving you a little extra time to pray today. Pray to God when you're stuck in traffic. You know, you don't have to pray out loud, incidentally. You can pray while you're doing things in your heart. So that's what it means to pray without ceasing. Whatever activity that you're engaging, as you're eating, you're praying. As you're walking, you're praying. As you're working, you're praying. Whatever you're doing, you're praying. And you're doing it in a posture of prayer. See, as in any relationship, in a husband and wife relationship, you're talking all the time. That's a sign of a healthy relationship. But at the same time, it's also good to set aside a particular time to talk. You know, let's spend an evening together. If you're married or in a serious relationship, it's good to have date nights. You know, Grace and I, we have designated Monday morning as our date mornings. Because Monday is my day off. Now, Jesus said, when you pray, go into a room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. And so I think what he's saying is create a place and context, intentional place of prayer. You know, you can spend maybe 10 minutes to read the Bible. Just start with 10 minutes. Just read a Bible. Don't try to, you know, go far. Just read a few verses. And maybe just add a few minutes to that reading time in prayer. And so it's kind of like a conversation. Let the word of God be what God says to you, and let your prayer be what you say to God in response. We pray alone oftentimes, but scripture says also to pray with others. Jesus says there's special power when two or more are gathered in his name to pray. You know, and that necessarily means you have to pray out loud. When you're praying with a group of people, you can't all just be silent. Nobody will say amen because they don't know what you said, right? So that means you got to learn to pray out loud. And I know for some of you, this freaks you out. You know, I've been in groups, you go, Pastor, I'm fine, but just don't ask me to pray. I get that from time to time. And it's okay. Learn to pray out loud because it is a blessing. Because God calls us to come together to pray. And the only way to do so is to pray out loud. It's a wonderful thing. And I think there is a power. Jesus said there is special power when people come together to pray. So in your grown serve groups, pray together. You know, for some of you, it's brand new to you. You don't really know how to do it. It's okay. Just give it a shot at the raw level that we talked about. It doesn't have to be manicured. Doesn't have to be all refined. Just pray from your heart. The heart of Christianity is a relationship with God. And that's why prayer, communication, is so important. Prayer changes not only the situation, but the person who's praying. You know, I shared this on Mother's Day a few years ago. I want to share this again, the story of my mother. I've had a couple of major call experience during high school and college, and so I made a commitment to go into ministry during my college years. But in the latter part of my college years, I walked away from God, rejected Christianity, struggled a lot, ended up coming back. But when I came back, I felt like the commitment that I made was made by a different person. And so as I was graduating, I was struggling with what I should do with my life. Should I go to seminary like I promised God that I would? Or should I go to law school? Because that was the thing that I was considering at that time. And my parents talked to me at that point, my mom and my dad, and they basically said, you're not sure about whether you should go into ministry. So if you're not sure and you go into ministry and you back out and you do something else, you're not going to bring glory to God. But if you're not sure and you go to law school and God calls you and you become sure and you leave law and enter into ministry, you will bring glory to God. So what do you want to do? Do you want to bring glory to God or not? So my parents, in their greed for my success, because they loved me, and they saw some potential in me, they wanted to see me have a successful life. That's a common cultural thing for Korean first-generation immigrant parents to feel about their children. And it wasn't because of that conversation, but it was definitely a major thought. And I decided to go to law school and finished law school, moved to LA to practice law for about 7 years in hot pursuit of success that I was hungry for. I was trying to make partner in a firm that I was at. And right around that time, right before I made partner, my mom calls me up and said, I need to talk to you. Can you come down? My mom and dad lived in Irvine at the time, so Grace and I drove down. My mom had become a prayer warrior at that point. She prayed every Friday. She all day long. She fasted every Friday and prayed for us mostly, her children, but also for the church and just so many things. She was just a prayer warrior. And she said, God, as she was praying, God has touched her. She and dad have been repenting, she said. Because she said, when Grace and I went to talk to her, she said, we've been repenting because we knew God had a call in your life. But because of our greed for your success, we discourage you from going into ministry. We encourage you to go into law school. And we have been repenting of that. And I remember, we all cried because we knew that was the Spirit of God speaking to her as she was praying. Because she's a first-generation Korean immigrant. And I was a promising lawyer at that point about to make partner. You don't tell somebody like that to throw away their career entering into less lucrative career. But somehow God had touched her and she said that. We cry.
And I told Mom, Mom, that's okay. You know, I enjoy practicing law. There are other ways to serve God, and that's okay. But that thought began a journey in my life in which I thought, nah, maybe I should take a class at Fuller and see how it goes. Kind of like what Kurt is doing right now. And, you know, just taking one class at a time, two class at a time, and seeing how things are. And it is through that journey, Grace and I went through an eight-month discernment process, after which we came to the conclusion that God was calling us into ministry. And so we, you know what happened, I'm here. So, you know, after about 6 months after my mom and dad talked to me, my mom passed away on that Thanksgiving dinner. And so in many ways, those were her last words. That was the last deep conversation that I had with my mother, because prayer has changed her, and prayer began to change me. And through prayer, God wants to change you. And through you, God wants to change the world. Let's go to God in prayer. Lord, Heavenly Father, we thank you for your grace. We thank you for your love. We thank you that you want a relationship with us and gave us, taught us how to have that relationship through prayer. Oh, Lord, Heavenly Father, I pray that you would speak and convict each and every one of us to pray. Not just when we eat, not just once in a while when we're struggling. I pray that, Lord, each and every one of us will create a rhythm of prayer and actually have a relationship with you through prayer, listening to you and talking to you about what is in our heart. Help us to have that real, raw, authentic relationship with you through prayer. Persistent prayer, O Lord. And help us to be transformed by you. And help us to receive your heart and live out the passions of your heart in our lives, O Lord. Thank you, Jesus. And I know that there are some of you, maybe there's just one of you here today, that wants to start this relationship with God. And if that's you, if you want to start a relationship with God, you can do so today. The way you do so is that you pray. You say, I'm sorry, God. And you say, thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. Thank you. And say, please fill me up with your spirit and your presence and help me to start this relationship with you. That's what you'd say. That's the beginning of this relationship with God. And if there's one person here that says, I want to start that relationship today, would you pray with me? And for the sake of that one person, would you all pray together? Just resonate this prayer in your heart. And that will be enough to begin your life in Christ. Lord, I'm sorry. There are things that you're sorry about. Just say, I'm sorry for this or that. Thank you for coming and dying for me on the cross. So that I could be reconciled to a relationship with you. Please fill me up with your love and your presence by your Spirit. And help me to start this relationship with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Lord, Heavenly Father, we pray that if anyone has prayed that prayer among us for the first time, that your Spirit will come upon them and guide them and help them to start a journey, a new life in you, a relationship with you. In Jesus' name we pray.
That concludes this week's sermon from New City Church of LA. Remember, if you would like more, you can visit www.newcitychurchla.com to download both audio and video sermons at no cost. A sermon is posted every week. Thank you for listening.